Today we're going to be actually in Luke chapter 1, so if you'd like to start in Luke chapter 1, what I'd like to go on and share with you is Kingdom Living Now Woman. What is a woman that's like in the Kingdom Living Now? We're talking about Kingdom Living. That's what we're after. We know a Kingdom is coming, and we know that we're destined to be in that Kingdom. As a matter of fact, we've adopted this motto among ourselves: transforming lives, building community, destined to lead. For we know that we're going to rule and reign with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what He's called us to do. But now we are to be living that Kingdom life so that people all around can see what Jesus is really about. Our lives are the reflection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our lives, not just what we do on this campus, but where you work, in your family, every place the Lord Jesus Christ is seen. You're not just a Sunday Christian. You're one who's been born again, for 24/7. You're always a Christian. You're a child of God, and you'll always be one. And everything you're doing is to be given over to the Lord Jesus Christ so that no matter how menial, how trivial it may seem to you, it becomes an honor to God when you do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ with gratefulness. Your job matters to Him. What you do matters to Him. Not just what you do here on this campus, but what you do everywhere. You're a child of God. And I just want to encourage you with that today. We want to look at one particular mother, one particular woman today, who was, typical of a lady who is Kingdom living now. What she's like when she receives what the Kingdom is and lives with it right now. The lady we're going to look at is Mary, the mother of Jesus. So I'd like to ask you to turn to Luke chapter 1 with me just for a moment. The lady who is Kingdom living now is the object of God's grace and knows it. She's the object of God's grace and knows it. Listen as we read from verse 26 of chapter 1 of Luke. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you, and blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord of God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. She's the object of God's grace and knows that she's the object. Consider with me this. She is taken from obscurity to exaltation. She's taken from unknown to highly favored. Now, even I put the word unknown, I put it in italics, and you have to, in between those italic marks, write a word unknown. Because she's unknown to us. She's known in the village. She's known to some guy named Joseph. Obviously known to mom and dad. But if this report wasn't here, she'd have gone like billions and billions of other nameless people, and we'd never have known. But there was never a time she was not known to God. Never a time she was not known to God. And He's the one that's going to take her from being unknown to being highly favored. That's an act of sovereign grace. Everybody follow me? That's an act you can't do. You can't exalt yourself the way God exalts you. You might do a lot of very powerful things, but you can't do what God does. And God's going to take her from obscurity into exaltation. She's going to be a highly favored one. And if I can say this just by extension, do you understand that's what's happened to every one of us? Every one of us. We're obscure in the world. We're unknown in the world. But I want you to know this. There's never been a time you've not been known to God. And it is He who has taken you from among the masses of people, called you out, and exalted you by calling you a child of God. A child of God. That's who you are today. By His grace. By His action. If I can say further. According to this passage, she is transformed by the act of God into a person of inner beauty and growing faith. She's transformed by the act of God into a person of inner beauty and growing faith. Here is a young lady not doing anything but being alive in Nazareth. Just having a normal, Monday, everyday, run-of-the-mill life. Nothing special is going on until this guy shows up and begins to talk to her. And I love the way this, the Bible says it. And she wondered, what weird greeting this might be. What is this kind of greeting? How did he greet you? Johnny was telling us this morning how he greeted him. How did he greet you? You see, this woman, who was a young girl at the time, she's just simply betrothed. She's not even married yet. She's engaged. Promised. Engaged. But not married yet. And she's living in Nazareth just doing her thing as she was supposed to do, like hundreds of thousands of other Jewish girls had done. But God called her. God gave her a new position. And He's going to transform her life from where she was into a person of deep faith and inner beauty. I was reminded of 1 Peter. Started to do this on the beauty of womanhood. And I was going to 1 Peter. And in 1 Peter chapter 3, it said, let it not be the outward adornment of hair and so forth, but let it be the inward beauty of the woman. And I realized the word beauty isn't even in that passage. It's transferred for us. It's placed in there. You'll see it's in italics. It's there in order that we'll know that that's the only word that makes sense. But whether the word beauty was there or not, the principle was still the same. The beauty of every woman is her inner beauty, not her outer beauty. It will always be that, kids. It will always be that. And that's not to take anything away from beautiful people or ugly people. That's simply to say this. That's not what life's about. And when we make it about that, we're making a huge, huge mistake. Life is about us inside. This thing is the earth suit that you're going to wear. This is what you're going to have the rest of your born days here. This is what He designed for you to live in the womb of your mother. And she carried you there and she nourished you there. But that child was born and this is the earth suit you're living in. I promise you, you will not stay in this earth suit. You're destined to leave this earth suit, especially when you're not living on earth anymore. God is going to call you out of this earth suit and you're going to go home. You're going to go to the destiny that's been placed for you by your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So to work your time on this one, that you ought to take care of this one. That's not what I'm saying at all. You ought to take care of this one. You ought to stay in good health. Why? Because you don't want this getting in the way of doing the will of God. You follow me? I know that the Lord God can cause you to do the will of God in any human shape. I know He can. That's just the kind of God He is. But when it's within your power to take care of this, you need to take care of it. So that it is not in your way of doing fully what God would have you to do. This girl was transformed from just a normal little Israeli girl into a woman of great beauty. And it's going to be first of all expressed in that verse 38. Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. If I can say further, in letter C, through humility, faith is born. And she's transformed into a vessel of honor. Through humility, faith is born. When she was willing to say, Lord, let it be. Here am I. Whatever you would have. Let it be. Now listen, let me just state this. All of us are coming from all kinds of backgrounds. There are mistakes that we have made. We have done some things that were foolish. We have done some things that have been painful. Things that have been sinful. Here's what I want you to know. God can take anyone through humility, through faith, and let them become a vessel of honor. This little girl is about to have something that's going to happen in her that is going to absolutely shock her and the community she lives in. She's going to be carrying a child when she has never known a man. What that's going to do to her husband, to be, that's going to bring shame to her, her family, her husband. He, matter of fact, Joseph is going to say, I'm willing to put you away privately. I love you enough. I don't want to make a scene out of you. But I don't understand this. I don't understand your story that you've never had relations with any man, and yet here you are very much with child. I don't get that. I don't understand that. But I will tell you this, God in His grace is transforming her. Because the story is going to be what He does to her. And then it's going to be what He does to the community around her. But it's going to be what He does with her. And I want you to know that's the way it is with you. It's what He does with you. You may look and say, I regret all the things that have happened to me. I will never be able to be used because I did this, I did that. Never lie to yourself. And never underestimate our great God. But this great God is going to change her life, and she's going to become a vessel of honor. Never look back and say, I can never serve God because, I don't care how you fill in that blank. Yes, you can. And yes, you will. But you'll have to swallow your pride and accept by humility, this is where I am. This is what God, be it unto me according to your word. She is humble being a chosen person. She's come to realize that she's a humble person. Would you look with me down at verse 46? When you're in humility, do you know that God will show you things He didn't show any other time? One of the best ways for you to learn what God's will is all about, one of the best ways this young lady learned what God's will was and how to find out what God's word said was being a humble person. When she recognized, I've been chosen by God and I have no reason to be chosen. I don't know why I'm chosen, but this is what's happened to me. She even tried to hide it by going to see Elizabeth. She's going to go and see Elizabeth, one, to prove that that really is what's going on. The angel didn't lie to her. And two, she's going to Elizabeth to kind of hide her public pregnancy. Get away from everybody where she can have some time. And as she gets there, she can't even hide there. She walks through the door and Elizabeth starts making pronouncements. Wow, the mother of my Lord has come to visit me. Oh boy, that's so much for that secret. Has somebody from Nazareth been passing on things already? No. No, the Spirit of God recognizes things. You know that? You ever met somebody that you already knew was a Christian? First time you'd ever seen them, and you knew they had to be a believer? Just your conversation with them, you know right away, that's a believer. You know how that happens? It's by the Spirit of God. See, the Spirit of God made us all family. And family recognizes family real quick. By the Spirit of God. Look with me at verses 46 to 56. When she hears Mary say that, or when she hears Elizabeth say that, verse 45, for instance, she says, blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, now look at this. This is a teenage girl. I want you to look at the grasp of theology this little girl's got. Look here. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For He has regarded the lowly estate of His maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. She's already prophesying. This little girl's saying that all generations are going to call me blessed soon. For He who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is His name. And His mercy is on those who fear Him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with His arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich He has sent away empty. He has helped His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy, as He spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. Forever. That's a pretty good understanding. You follow me? For a young lady, that's some pretty good theology. That's some pretty good prophecy. Let me share this with you. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says that those who are Christ have the mind of Christ. They have been given understanding from Christ. Listen, friends, for us to be in a humble state and recognize the fact we're a chosen vessel, not by what we've done, but by God's gracious act to us, is to allow God to give us understanding in all things. It's to allow God the opportunity to open our mind to things we did not know before. It's to give us understanding in verses that you may have read 100 times and didn't see them before. It's to give you an understanding of God and who He is. Let's go on with me. She's going to learn lessons of the wonderful character of God. When you're an object of God's grace, you're a kingdom living woman now. You're ready to receive things from God. You're ready to hear. The humility that goes with it, and as I try to share with you all through this series, humility is the key. For through humility, God's grace comes and works repentance and faith in our lives. And through that humility and through that grace, God gives us understanding in all things. But I also promise you this. Through that humility, through faith, by God's grace, you had just entered into the greatest university on the face of the earth. You have enrolled yourself in the university of God, and He's got a great way of teaching you all about the character. You see, our Father is taking you from obscurity to exaltation. The day is coming when you will lead with Christ Jesus. And He's got to take you through adequate learning, adequate experiences, adequate training, adequate instruction in order that you can be the person you're going to be in that day. And you're getting the opportunity to practice it right now. Look with me, and I want to share with you the things He does in this little girl's life. Her experiences become applications of the wonder of God. Look with me on Luke chapter 2 just for a moment. Her experiences become the application of the Word of God. Here in chapter 2, let's just pick up there in Bethlehem, you know, verse 6. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now you say, well, she gave birth. Yep. Very normal experience. There was nothing abnormal or unusual about this birth. Our Lord Jesus is coming into this world just like the rest of us. And with this birth, this young lady is giving birth as hundreds, millions of other women had done before. But there's something that's strange about this experience. Let me go on and show you what I mean. Now, they were in the same country, shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them. The glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." You know the rest of the story. I know it's not Christmas. We don't have to read it all right here. All I want you to see is with me. Go with me further. It says in verse 15, "So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said one to another, 'Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds." Now watch this, verse 19. "But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart." Consider with me this. She's giving birth just like all other women have done before. But that night, I mean, let's face it. Many of you in here have had children. Do you remember the time when having children, shepherds showed up at the birth of your child? Would you have welcomed them? Would the hospital have welcomed them? "Hi, we're a group of shepherds. We've come to see a baby that was probably born in room 32. You're in obscurity again. You're in what we're going to guess was a stable. It wasn't any place for you, so you're in obscurity. And you can't even hide there. Shepherds are going to come around and redefine that moment. They're going to take that experience and turn it in as a moment from God. How many of you have been through the same thing? Ordinary, everyday, mundane experiences of life turn out to be a life changer that you didn't know was coming at all. You met somebody you didn't know you were going to meet. You knew nothing about it, and it changed the way you looked at things. You had an experience some morning that was a normal experience, but it got redefined. Maybe it was somebody went to the hospital. Maybe it was some experience that was going to change the way you looked at life. Maybe all of a sudden the things that you thought were normal are not normal anymore. And you encountered God. And He showed you something brand new. This little girl and her husband are holding a baby. As far as they're concerned, normal baby. Everything's going like it's supposed to be. And yet, this little baby is being acknowledged by shepherds as a child of God. Let me go on further. Because that's not all it does. Look, if it was, they're going to take him to the 8 days later, they're going to take him to the temple to have the normal dedications given. And while they're at the temple, here you are trying to be in obscurity again. You're walking in. You're not known by anybody else in the whole wide world. You've not announced your birth to anyone except the priest. You've come in to dedicate your child. You're doing things like you're supposed to do. You're following the law just as the Lord said. And then you find this in verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. You know the story. Come on down with verse 29. Lord, now you are letting your servant depart, this man says, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all the peoples, and to a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and glory to your people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Look at this. Old man comes up to you while you're in the temple, takes your baby, holds him up in the air, said, this is the salvation of Israel. Does that change an ordinary moment? Yeah, it does. Can I tell you that people who are the object of God's grace always go through a change of an ordinary moment? Things aren't ordinary anymore. Things have a meaning and a purpose. As Johnny said, he believes in providence. So do we all. For those things have a meaning and a purpose that comes with them. Let me go on with you further. She is exposed to the extraordinary and unexpected ways of God. God's the one who sent the shepherds there. God's the one who's speaking to Simeon. God's the one who's going to speak to Anna. All of these people were coming from God as a confirmation for this little girl is the object of God's grace. And she's going to be exposed to those extraordinary and unexpected ways of God. She doesn't know they're coming. She got up that day that Gabriel came to see her. She didn't know it was any day different than any other day. But it changed. Let me go on further with you. Let her see. She keeps and gives careful consideration to the things she is seeing from God. She's marveling at these things. But it keeps saying this. Verse 19, it said it. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Verse 51 says they went down to them together. And Mary kept all these things in her heart. She thought them through, kids. And if I can say it this way, we have nothing recorded other than this. She withholds speech until she can get a firm grasp on what that means. She's not talking about it yet. She's not trying to explain it yet. Humility says, I haven't put this all together. But I can tell you this. Gabriel came. Elizabeth recognized it. I recognized it. The shepherds recognized it. Simeon recognized it. Anna recognized it. How is this happening? And she keeps all these things and ponders them in her heart. Isn't that a great thing to do? Don't forget the things that God has given you, the experiences He's given you along the way. Ponder them. Think them through, ladies. Think them through. What has He done in giving you a child? What has He done in giving your mother, dads, and brothers and sisters? What's He done in giving us a mother? What's He done in giving us new life in the Lord Jesus Christ? Don't forget to ponder these things. Letter E. She learns and lives in humility with the wonderful but inexplicable gifts of God. What do you suppose it's like to raise the Son of God? Is this going to be a confusing moment? Let me just take you and let's take a few moments and let's go back to Mary's life. She's pondered all these things in her heart. She's seen all of these things that make an announcement, make it true that this kid is really different. There's something really very special about him. And yet this has to happen. This young man still has to learn obedience. He gave himself to his parents. He lived in submission to his parents. He learned Hebrew. He learned Aramaic. He learned Greek. That's God learning that. The creator of all languages is learning them. She's watching this boy grow up before her very eyes. All the time, pondering. What does it mean that he's the Son of God? She doesn't know what's going to happen with him. She knows this. He's got a powerful destiny. He's got something coming up. Can I say this, mothers? As you're looking at your children, would you recognize they have a powerful destiny? Would you recognize that these are potent people? You have no idea what God's going to do with them. Nothing explicit, nothing that you can look at and say. But can you look at them and say, here is a child of God. This child was given to me. This child has special purpose. This child has special meaning. And could you convey that to them? God gave you to me. God gave us, your mom and dad, this wonderful gift that you are. And God's got a purpose for you. There is some reason why you're here. And I want you to always give yourself to this. You don't have to keep asking him, what do you want to do when you grow up? Ask him, what kind of person do you want to be? And keep sharing with him who Jesus is. Keep sharing what the character of the Bible is. Keep sharing with him what is called upon as a holy life. Keep sharing that with them. Then regardless of what they do in life, they'll have character behind it to do it. This girl, through humility, is going to keep watching this boy grow up. She's going to keep seeing this miracle of God happening just before her all the time. And it's going to continually encourage her. If I can go further, she feels the joy and the pain of stewardship. She recognizes the importance of the responsibility given to her by God. She knows that she is raising the Son of God. She knows that better than anyone else. She's the one that heard the testimonies. She knew it. She's the one who was impregnated, and she knew she didn't know a man. She knows all of that. She knows there's an importance. She knows she's a part of the kingdom. Now, let me go further with that. She may not be clear on what part she has in the kingdom, but she is ready to be used by God. That's what she kept saying. Be it unto me as you want. Whatever you say, be that unto me. Let me just state this as by application to all of us here. I don't know what part you have in the kingdom either. I don't know, and you don't either. But you can know this. Through humility and faith, you'll grow. And it will come to you. You'll come to understand this is the will of God for you. This was your calling. This is what you're about. And you'll live that calling out. God does not give people usually an advance warning. There are only a few in the Scriptures He told in advance, this is what you're going to be. John the Baptist knew. Jesus knew. Jeremiah knew. A few other people get to know all those things. All the rest of us went through the mundane, the normal, the average, only to find out, in fact, we do have a part in the kingdom of God. Maybe it's simply going to be to share the gospel with other people and somebody come to know Christ. And because they came to know Christ, you gave them a new life. Their life would have been destroyed had it not been for the gospel coming through you. But you gave them new life. Maybe it's simply that you gave somebody direction for where they're supposed to go. What they were supposed to do with Almighty God. Whatever it was, friend, that's your part in the kingdom of God. Never demean it. Never play it down. Letter D. She recognizes she does not own and she cannot keep that which God has given as a stewardship. I want you to turn with me to Luke chapter 2 just for a moment again. I want you to come down to verse 39. Actually, verse 41. Luke 2, 41. From that passage that we were reading this morning. And his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. How often did they go? Every year. Now let me ask you something. Do you suppose that this mother is teaching her son anything? When she's going every year, she's teaching her son, this is where we're supposed to be every year. I read further in another passage that deals with Jesus in Luke chapter 4, that Jesus made it his practice to go to the synagogue. Where do you think he learned to make it his practice? From his mother and his father. We don't know what happened to Joseph. But we do know this. Mom kept bringing. Mom kept bringing. Now, let me go further with you. Those people who seem to think that they'll just let their children grow up on their own. How do you suppose they're going to grow up on their own? How do you suppose they're going to know what to do? How do you suppose they're going to know where to find the truth? Make it your practice to take them with you. To teach them when you walk in the way, to teach them when you rise up, to teach them when you lay down, to teach them when you eat your meals, to teach them, bring them to assembly. They took him every year just like they were supposed to do. But on this particular year, something different took place. Somehow, Jesus feels he's ready. If you would, look what it goes on. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. And when they had finished the days and they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother did not know it. But supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. So it was that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. Now, stop just a minute. Before you just simply say, well, yeah, he's God, he knows everything, I want to remind you, Philippians 2 says he gave up the independent use of that power. He is living off what he read. He is living off what he learned in the synagogue every day. And he's living it with perfect faith. He's trusting that those words spoke about him. Those words he was hearing was his Father's writing. This is what the Holy Spirit had brought. He's understanding this to be the Word of God. So when he's sitting in this temple questioning these doctors, this is the author of the book speaking to the readers of the book. You follow me? And he is a reader of the book. Can I tell you, nothing will ever replace reading, kids. Nothing will ever replace reading. It's great to listen to it. You listen on CDs. You can listen to it on your cassette tapes. It's good to listen to the Word of God. But I will tell you, nothing ever replaces reading it. Men, quit using the excuse you don't read well. Honestly, get started. You've waited a long time. Now read well. Get in there and read this. Jesus was a reader. He knew what it said. Now listen, let's go on further. I want you to see what he said. So when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, now look at her statement. Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously. Who was looking for him? Not his father. That's not his father. So let's look at Jesus' reply. He said to them, why is it that you sought me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? Kids, at 12 years old, this little miracle of grace, who was living under a humbled mother, a gracious mother, a grace-filled, spirit-filled mother, is recognizing something very potent about himself. Joseph's not my dad, Mom. And I'm about my Father's business. And Joseph and Mary both marveled at that thing. But Mary, she's going to keep them in her heart. She's going to ponder those things in her heart. Let me go on with you further. She knows that she does not own and she cannot keep that which God has given as a stewardship. She's recognizing that more and more. Here's her son that she's worried about. She's gone back to find him. And he's now telling her, Mom, did you not know I need to be about my Father's business? As we dedicated these children earlier, I want to remind you, those children belong to God. And God's got a calling on their life. And someday he's going to ask you, take your hand off, please. Take your hand off. This child belongs to me. And I have a purpose for this child. I wonder sometimes if Mary could have known all the things that her son was going to go through, would she have done things any differently? Would she have just hid him in Nazareth, maybe? She didn't. I wonder what it was as this precious woman, and let me just give you the rest of the blanks just so I can tell you what we're about to speak here. She recognizes that her stewardship is important to God and God's plan. She recognizes that her stewardship is important to God in God's plan. She will do what is necessary to bring her stewardship into obedience to God. She knows that what she's doing is important, And she's going to do what's necessary. That means taking the son to synagogue every Sabbath, then she's going to take him to synagogue. If it means going every year to the festivals, then she's going to go to the festivals. She's going to follow what the law had prescribed. She's going to follow what God had said. If that means having a Sabbath meal every Friday night, then she's going to have a Sabbath meal. And they're going to sit there as a family together, eating that big meal and remembering God. She's going to do what's necessary in order for this child to respond properly. She will recognize when she must take her hands off God's gift and permit God to use it as He intended. She's recognizing here, she's pondering these things in her heart. Did you not know it must be about my Father's business? Mary, can you keep him? No. He never was yours to keep. She accepts what she cannot change and works with it. She adapts to change, and change is inevitable. I'll let you look at those blanks while I talk about this. The day is going to come when Jesus really is going to be about His Father's business. And her son's not going to be living at home. Her son's not taking up the dad's hammer. Her son's not taking up the saw. He's not taking up the family work. In fact, he's traveling around the countryside. She's heard about the cousin, John, who's down in the countryside baptizing folk. And now she finds out her son is doing the same kind of thing. And when she gets up at one place, she recognizes crowds are starting to come to her son. Multitudes are starting to come. And they're starting to hear things back home about what Jesus is doing that doesn't sound like what He did at home. People were being healed. People are being touched by God. People are being moved by God. And as they're being touched and moved and healed, what do you suppose crossed her mind? What do you suppose is going through the brothers' and sisters' minds? We have an idea. We have a notion what happened. Because Mary and the brothers all took off to a gathering where Jesus was. And they went and knocked on the door. There's this big crowd outside there. And as they're knocking on the door, they're trying to get in. Word comes to Jesus, your mother and brothers are standing outside. They'd like for you to come out. Jesus knows why they want him to come out. They want him to come back home. They want him to stop this. Just be a carpenter like we're supposed to be. We're carpenters, son. Just be a carpenter. She can't keep that which was given to her. And he's not going to be a carpenter. He didn't go out. He didn't come. He said, all these right here who do the will of the Father, that's my mother and my brothers. What do you suppose that mother felt? I raised this boy. I fed this boy. I diapered this boy. I took care of him. I taught him. I trained him. And now he's not got time for me? Seriously? She's going to leave. But you're not going to hear her complain. Because this child belonged to God. And she knew it. Ultimately, she's going to be one of the followers. She's going to follow her son around. She's going to go where her son goes. But I want you to get the picture here. She learns the pain of loss that turns to eternal gain. Nothing on earth is permanent, kids. Be careful how closely you try to hold it or what you seek. Nothing on this planet is permanent. Everything, when you die, you will leave behind. All you can take with you are those you have shared the good news of Jesus Christ with and shared your life with. She loves and enjoys the blessings of God in giving her a stewardship. She's appreciative of that. She cannot know how things will end, but she can know God does all things well. She's not given all the information about her son, but she can see things are going poorly for him. Say, these people are starting to get serious about their charges against him. What do you think it was when that mother saw that they had arrested her son? What do you think it was when that mother saw them beat her son? Scourge him. Whip him. What do you think it was when she saw him finally nailed to a cross? Laughed at. Scorned. Treated in every cruel way. That's got to be the heartbreak for every mother. To see that happen to your son. To see that happen to a gift that God had given to you. To know the pain of that loss. Stewardship can be brutal sometimes, can't it? And she sees that loss and she feels that pain. She knows she's got to give up. But she knows somehow, as she's pondering all these things in her heart, why would God do that at the first? Why would He start this thing? Why did He share it with Elizabeth? Why did He share it with the shepherds? Why did He share it with Simeon? Why did He share it with Anna? Why did I see Him confuse all the teachers in Israel? Why did He do that? Unless there's a purpose bigger than I know. Can she remember that her son said publicly on many occasions, "Take my life, and in 3 days I'll raise it up. Take my life, and in 3 days I'll raise it up." There are times when it's great to be willing to give up something God has given you. But there are other times when it's taken from you. You realize that you've got to have the same loose hold that you had on it, no matter which way it went. And you have to say, "I let you go. Whatever God's bigger purpose is, I'll let you go for it." A woman who's a kingdom living woman now recognizes what she has to do. It's a stewardship, and I know it. I have to let Him go. Suffering comes with releasing and loss. And finally, God brings joy out of sorrow. I wonder what that mother thought on that third day when another Mary came back and said, "I've seen Him. I've seen Him. He's alive. He's alive. And I saw Him." What do you suppose it was like when that mother who carried that baby now realizes that that baby is the one who knit her in the womb of her mother? Who knit her in the womb of her mother? What do you suppose it is now when this woman finally gets it? "Ha! He's my salvation. I gave birth to my own salvation through this son. This is the Son of God. I get it. Hallelujah." A kingdom living now woman has to say this: every good and perfect gift comes from the Father. And their mind for the stewardship, and their mind for the using, and their mind for the developing everything I can, and I'm going to pour my life into it, but I'm going to recognize that as I pour my life into it, I've got to withdraw my life because God has a bigger purpose for Him. Whatever that gift was, gift of a child, gift of ministry, whatever it was, take your hand off. For that thing that you've got your hand on right now may very well be the very thing that's your eternal gain. Leave it alone and let God deal with it. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank and I praise You because Jesus Christ is Lord and He's Lord of everything. I ask this now, Father, in Jesus' name, You'll minister to each of us. We have each been born by the grace of God through faith. That not of ourselves is a gift of God. We recognize, Father, that there's a little bit of this Mary in each one of us. We weren't looking for You, just as Johnny reminded us. You look for us. She wasn't looking for the Spirit that day. She wasn't looking for the Gabriel that day. It was just living. Thank You, Father, that she'll never just be living again. Everything changed for that woman as it does for each of us. Thank You for that new life You've given us in Jesus Christ. We praise You now in Jesus' name. Amen.